now, as he has throughout the session, Jason DeQueer from Advantis Consulting. Jason, welcome back, man. How are you?
Hey, good, Brian. How are you, buddy?
Doing very well. So there's going to be a lot of movement in these last 10 and a half hours or so. What are you looking out for?
Yeah, I mean, look, there better be a lot of movement. If not, we're headed to a special session, which I just don't think legislators at this point, with elections and everything else going on, are very interested in doing. I mean, it boils down to one thing, and that's can they pull the budget out of conference and get the requisite votes to get it passed? As you know, this week, SCR3 was the controversial piece, for kind of a lay term there. That was the piece that dealt with whether or not they would exceed the spending cap. It moved out of the Senate easily, got to House. There was a hiccup in getting it down to appropriations where it needed to be heard. Was finally heard in appropriations. The speaker went down and presented on SCR3, and it got the requisite votes, got to the House floor. It had to be amended a little bit more, and really, not to get too much into the weeds, but it just reduced how much over the spending cap they would allow the legislature to go, and that was able to pick up some conservative votes. So it passed with about 85 votes, needed two-thirds, which is 70. So overwhelming supermajority there. And now that piece is gone, budget passed out of the Senate, came back to the House, HB1. And in typical fashion, they rejected the Senate amendments, not necessarily because of one thing or another. They typically send it down to conference where they all get together and debate over pieces and who's going to get which type of project, certain funding, that sort of thing. And if they reach a compromise while it's in conference, they'll pull it out and vote on it, and we'll be on our way. If they don't reach a compromise, Brian, it can't get the votes. That's when you start talking about special session, because our Constitution requires us to pass a balanced budget.
So if we have a special session, and like you said, nobody wants that, whether it's an election year, so whether it's somebody running for their current post or running for a different post, nobody wants that, because every day you're in special session is a day you're not campaigning. But it's also a day where your opponent is campaigning, saying, look, they couldn't get their you-know-what together. That's why they're back at it. And they're going to come back and ask for your vote again. It's just it's a double negative hit.
No, I think that's right. I think since the main vehicle, SCR3, and they've kind of gotten over, will we exceed the spending cap? To me, that was sort of a compromise. So now, unless it's just, something really just falls apart on a major spending item, I would suspect at some point today they will pull HB1 out and get the votes. But, we're infamous for waiting until the last minute.
Oh, I know.
But sometimes you like to pull these things out a little bit early.
Yeah.
And that way, if you don't get the requisite votes, you have time to go back to the well, so to speak, and try to figure out, okay, where do we need to compromise to pull it back out again and try to get that vote total.
Yeah, no, look, hey, I appreciate a good 2-minute drill, but I also like having a 20-point lead at halftime.
That's right.
So long as we get the 20-point lead at halftime somewhere along the way. Jason DeQueer from Advantis Consulting is our guest. I got to ask you about that amendment Jack McFarland put out there. We had Representative McFarland on Tuesday talking about it. How big of a deal is it to have that amendment to knock the number down? Jason, once you're blowing past the spending cap, Is this squabbling over nothing?
Yeah, I mean, look, how big of a deal was it at the end of the day, Brian? I think it's something that allowed them to obviously pick up the requisite votes and get over the threshold. It was, but we did it in a more conservative manner. We made sure rainy days protected. We made sure adequate amounts in certain savings accounts, that sort of thing. But without that amendment, how politics is. It's like one side won and the other didn't get anything. And so here is where, just reducing it by that amount allowed for it to look, okay, we're doing it, but we're doing it in a much more conservative fashion. And so I do think that that was critical in moving that instrument along.
We got Jason DeQuire from Adventist Consulting taking a look at the legislative session. Jason, what else do you have your eyes on today outside of the budget?
Well, you know, this was a fiscal session. It was a tax session, right? And so also, obviously, we know what the budget has been and well, whether or not we will exceed the spending cap. This session has really been all about show me the money. Mm-hmm. And it started out as if, you know, we were going to reform in terms of taxes, everything under the sun, right, Brian? We were going to get rid of personal income tax. We're going to continue to reduce corporate income tax and get rid of the franchise tax. We were going to fix our wacky, messed up ITEP system, industrial tax abatement system. We were going to eliminate the inventory tax and reduce severance tax rates. I mean, we were digital goods. I mean, we were talking about all of these grandiose ideas, and really none of that got any traction. That's not uncommon in election year. Tax, the word tax, is a difficult subject to even talk about in an election year. I also think, you know, with the next governor going to be coming on board at the beginning of next year, I think a lot of these initiatives were being left for the next governor. As you know, when that governor comes in, his first year is really when he has all his energy. He's the most powerful, just got elected. That's probably the best time to push a lot of these reforms through. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the keys to it. But at the end of the day, it really boiled down to two instruments. As we talked about, Senator Alon tied two bills together, SB1 and SB6. SB1 would purport to continue to eliminate the franchise tax. And, you know, we beat that up to death on this show, Brian, and how bad of a tax that is.
Oh, yeah.
How much it needs to be eliminated, how much it hurts businesses that have and want to move more capital and more assets to Louisiana without it being taxed. So he's got SB1 that's purporting to eliminate that or phase it out over a six-year period if it meets certain conditions. Basically, the state would have to collect over $600 million in corporate income and franchise tax. If it does that in any year that we do that, he would reduce the tax by 25%. However, he tied it to SB6 in an exchange for that phase out. You know, one of the foremost incentive programs, job creation programs that the state has is a program known as Quality Jobs. And he's going to, in exchange, reduce that by up to 50%. So you didn't have a lot of warm and fuzzy about that, but you didn't really receive any serious opposition because the franchise tax is so harmful. We need to phase that out. And he made some tweaks to it, which I think were very good, to ensure that companies who have already started the investment process and made the decisions prior to this legislation passing, that they had a couple years to get their project done and would not be impacted by this change. And so you never want to rip the rug from under a company after they've already made the investment decision and used the numbers and the modeling that was in place prior to the change.
We got Jason DeQuire for another, a minute and a half or so. Jason, if I can kind of forecast ahead here, once we're done with the legislative session, up next will be the governor's race. Did you by any chance get a chance to see that video floating around social media yesterday? Garrett Graves has signed off on Stephen Wagsby.
I did see that, Brian. I was gonna ask you to predict which one of these candidates was going to win the governor's race, and then I could probably tell you what kind of tax reforms we get done. Look, they're off and running. Obviously it's going to be interesting. It really will. You've got, you know, I would say some strong candidates in there, and I think we're all going to be glued in. Honestly, I think it's still early, believe it or not. I mean, normally we're seeing people campaigning a year out and going strong. I think it's starting to mount up. But I think you needed to get through this session, some of the summer, and I think people are really going to start to tune into this thing.
So do I. And once we start to get into issues, actual issues, and honestly, Jason, I think the lack of action during this legislative session might come back to haunt some folks.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you on that. I do.
All right, we got you next week, I assume. If you're going into hibernation, I completely understand. But if we can get a recap next week, I'd greatly appreciate it.
No, we'll do it, brother. I look forward to it. Thank you, my friend.
Always. Love talking to you. He is Jason.